At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Welcome, Red Sox fans. Here are the bastards of Boston baseball.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to yet another episode of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. Gonna be a little bit of a sad episode, maybe that's not the best word, but we got some injury news today during Chaim Bloom's press conference with the media. Chris Sale, stress fracture to his right rib cage that was sustained during a live batting practice session, which took place at kind of like a private camp that Chris Sale had set up with some other Red Sox players. It was kind of one of those underground camps during the lockout. Players are allowed to talk to each other, but coaches and front office people couldn't talk to the players, so they took it upon themselves to have their own little camp get ramped up, and stress fracture to his ribs. So with me tonight, Charlie Smith. Two of us are going to tag team this episode. We'll also get into some Freddie Freeman talk. We have some hot takes, which were submitted on the Bastards of Boston Twitter account, which you can find on Twitter at Bastards_Boston. Charlie, how are you?
I'm good, bud. You know, I feel like every day I wake up and I just do go about my day and I'm like, all right, got to get ready for the show tonight. That's kind of been like my week. I feel like you and I have done this 3 or 4 times this week. It's been good, but unfortunately the news, like you mentioned, hasn't been so grand. And Chris Sale, unfortunately, is out. And the typical injury for something like this is going to be 6 to 8 weeks before he can, you know, as you've mentioned, you know, start to ramp back up and whatnot. The live batting session that he did do was on Instagram, and he posted that February 24th. So 6 to 8 weeks after that, we're 3 weeks down. Worst case scenario, 5 weeks of total heal time before he begins like ramping back up and whatnot. We're definitely not going to be there for the opening bell for the beginning of the season. So the question is, how bad was it, and how long is it going to take before he's back up to normal? I think we're probably looking at 2.5 months before we see him from now.
Well, you figure 8 weeks is from February 24, so he'll start throwing again the last week of April, and then you figure probably 2 or 3 weeks to get ramped up. You're looking at mid to late March before he's pitching off the mound in Fenway.
I meant May.
I got my months mixed up. So yeah, mid to late May is probably the earliest we can expect.
And what's crazy about that is, depending on what happens with the Red Sox in the first month of the season, we're already in trouble. And we've got several players that aren't vaccinated, which is going to prevent them from being able to play at certain stadiums. So there's a very good chance that when Chris Sale comes back, our season may to some degree already be decided, which is sad to say already this early. But I'm starting to get like hints of that shortened season where I called 23, and it's starting to look that way. Now the good thing is Chris Sale will be back, but I mean, oh boy, you know, Chris Sale and Nate Eovaldi, both, they're just one sneeze away from being on the disabled or the injury list for like 2 months, you know.
Or if they fart the wrong way.
You know, just anything. And it's tragic. But this is the guy I want to see pitching every five games. And it hurts to see him not play. So I'm looking forward to him making a full recovery. And when he's back out, you know, in May, like you mentioned, Terry, I'll be really excited.
We were talking I think it was the very last episode, about how he wasn't vaccinated, and we're looking at the schedule, and we've got one at Toronto series in April, and then the second one wasn't until late June. So I wasn't worried about it, because similarly, like you just said, our season could be over by then if the stars don't align. You know, if we don't have enough offense, which we both believe we don't, that bullpen, we don't know what that bullpen is right now. It certainly looks like they're done adding to it. And you got a bunch of wild cards in your starting rotation. So now our biggest concern isn't even the vaccines with him. It's the injuries. And side note with the vaccine topic, Xander Bogaerts has been vaccinated. He got his over the winter. Christian Arroyo as well. So the only one I'm not clear about right now is JD Martinez. I don't know if he does or he doesn't, but we'll get into him later. JD is going to be a topic I'm going to kind of insert into another topic. So, but with Chris Sale, before we move on, I just want to say this whole extension contract, I don't blame Dombrowski for trading for him. I'll never blame him for that. And the World Series that we won with Chris Sale was under his previous deal that was signed with the White Sox. The extension that was signed a few months after the World Series, that is coming back to haunt us. And Sale had a ton of red flags, which I've covered ad nauseum over the last couple of years. And even before that was even signed, I had my concerns. And that extension is haunting us right now. You had the Tommy John, now you get the stress fracture. This is the third straight opening day Chris Sale won't be on your active roster.
What's insane is Dombrowski is either the GM of the team that's losing a player that gets a contract before pitching a day in Boston, or he is the GM who ends up, as you mentioned, almost jumping the gun. And there were quite a few players that we gave kind of like thank you contracts out to. Chris Sale wasn't going to sign something for less than 5 years. And I don't think that Dave Dombrowski wanted to risk Chris Sale wearing pinstripes or seeing him wear another uniform in the AL East. I just think about what our team would look like without Chris Sale. And to some degree, if we didn't have Chris Sale for 2 years, I mean, what would it look like? It wouldn't have looked very different, because Chris Sale didn't pitch a couple of years ago because he's recovering, came back for only a little bit of time now, last year. And here we go with a short start for him. Now we're going to have to wait to see him come out. So $30 million this year, 27 and a half each of the next two seasons. There's a club option in 2025. I'm pretty sure that's not getting picked up, you know, unless, like, barring a miracle. But I don't know what Chaim Bloom is thinking right now. I just don't know what direction he's thinking. I don't know. It's going to be pretty wild. In the next couple of weeks, it hurts. It just really hurts.
Nathan Eovaldi has been named the opening day starter, so that's not a mystery. Nick Pivetta, your number two for the time being. And Rich Hill, I'm assuming, will be stretched out enough to go at least four or five innings. He's your number three. And then after that, it gets tricky, because during Bloom's press conference today, it was a little unclear if Tanner Houck and Garrett Whitlock would be stretched out enough to actually be starters. I got the impression the plan and the timetables were more pointing towards long relief. So I don't know how short we are. I don't know what Michael Wacha's status is. I mean, excuse me, he's been a starter his whole career. So it's the back end of the rotation is very much open to interpretation right now.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head there. Everything was, you know, kind of lined up. Everything did look good. You had Sale, Evaldi, Hill would have been after Pivetta, so it would have been Pivetta, Hill, and then Tanner Houck. Now everyone slides up one, and you go from a, okay, we're going to do our best to, this is not a good rotation. When Nick Pivetta's your two, which Nick Pivetta are you getting? Rich Hill? I'm also kind of curious to see what's going to happen. Tanner Houck, I have faith in. Like, I've been saying that Tanner Houck eventually is going to be a solid three minimum for our club in the future. He just needs to get it figured out. He already has shown that he can do it. It's just that level of consistency that needs to come out. Wacha eventually is going to he's going to have to figure himself into that rotation. We know Paxton's not back yet. And Garrett Whitlock may find himself doing a couple of spot starts, maybe some four-inning jobs or five-inning jobs, and we'll just figure it out from there. Just a, you know, bullpen game, for the lack of a better term. But if Garrett Whitlock takes the five slot, who's taking Garrett Whitlock's role? Who do you trust in that spot? I don't know.
You look at that whole bullpen, you don't know if you have an eighth or a ninth inning guy.
You don't know.
It's a complete wild card. So I don't hate the idea of Whitlock becoming a starter if he's going to be a quality one, but hopefully there's so many unknowns this year, and it's crazy that it's the second year in a row for the Boston Red Sox that all the question marks, we're not sure of that. So question, it just kind of came to my mind as you were doing your breakdown. Who do you think will get the most quality innings out of as a starter? Rich Hill or Nick Pivetta?
Pivetta.
You think so?
I think it's going to be Pivetta, yep. Because Rich Hill, oh, I mean, God bless this man. Like, he wants to play baseball. The guy's 42 years old. And you know that he's going to spend at least one or two stints on the IL. I don't think he's pitched a full season in, I don't even know, 5-6 years maybe?
I've got it up
right
now.
It was in L.A. It was in L.A. He did decent 1 year in L.A.
Actually, 158 innings in 2021.
100 and how many?
158. Not a great year, though. Oh, wait a minute. I'm not navigating properly.
Did he play? Then I completely missed him being completely relevant then.
Well, he started in Tampa Bay. We faced him at least a couple of times. Then he got traded to the Mets. So he actually had a 3.86 ERA. He's coming off a pretty good season.
Well, then I misspoke. I thought he was on the IL for a period last year. Maybe I'm thinking of 2020 or 2019 then, because I remember seeing his name go up on the list where he got shut down.
2019, only 58 innings. So he did exactly 100 more than that.
Okay, that's what I'm mixing up then. That's my fault. My apologies.
Yeah, 38 innings in 2020. I don't know if that's normal or not, because it was, you know, only 2 months. But, and then 132 in 2018, 135. The one bugaboo with him, other than the Tommy John surgery he had, has been mm-hmm. blister issues, because he's such a heavy curveball guy. So we don't want to be seeing any of that. But honestly, if he's going to give you 150 or so innings, I'm going to say his numbers will be better than Nick Pivetta's. I just don't trust the lack of consistency out of Pivetta. Now, I hope I'm wrong, because if I'm wrong, Hill might still have a decent year. And if Pivetta has a really good year, maybe this rotation is going to work out better than I think. But yeah. And I love Rich Hill. I would just love him if we had a few more reliable guys in front of him is what I would love the most. But
Pivetta actually did, he did all right for us down the stretch. We just couldn't hit for him. We couldn't get any runs. I don't remember him really getting any support, but he had some good games for us last year, quality starts, and he didn't get he didn't get any love. Like, I remember he one-hit Toronto, and he didn't get the win. And he struck out six or seven guys. And then the next day, the next game, it was against New York. It was another division. It's like back-to-back division games where I was actually really impressed. And when I'm looking back, I think it was either the Yankees or the Blue Jays. It was one of the division opponents. But he ended up going really far again and did a really good job. And I think that if he can do that again, I do feel that Pivetta is going to throw more innings. I really do. Because if he can build on what he did last year, that's going to be incredible. Now, the drawback is that he's going to have a little bit more pressure on him this year, because if he's going to be assuming the two hole as opposed to the three, which would be a little bit more comfortable, I expect there to be a little bit more pressure. He's definitely going to face tougher competition. You know, that's a big ask. That's like, I don't know what's a bigger ask, 3-2 or 2-1. Because I think they're both pretty sizable jumps.
Well, he got off to that hot start for like 2.5 months, and I kind of felt like he was kind of getting away with some stuff. Like, we were just waiting for the ceiling to collapse, and then it kind of did, and July and August weren't very good to him. And then, believe it or not, we went to the Evaldi Garrett Cole game, you and I, at Fenway against the Yankees. The very next night, I was back in Fenway, and it was Pivetta. I forget who his opponent was, but
they lost that game.
The Red Sox, yeah, they got swept that whole series. But Pivetta pitched a gem for six innings, if you can call that a gem. I think that is a gem in post 2020. But I went into that game thinking, man, we're going to get crushed. We are going to get crushed. And I went with my friend Andy that night. So shout out to him if he's listening. He does frequently. But pleasantly surprised. And we were winning until, I think it was Darwinson Hernandez gave up that grand slam to Giancarlo Stanton.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That was that game.
And then ironically, right after that comes Sweet Caroline. So yeah, everybody was so into it. But
right.
Yeah. By the time that happened in our game, we had already surrendered.
Third inning we surrendered. I remember they lost because you told me that when you went to that game they. I remember that you'd gone to two straight losses against the Yankees. Like that was that's all I remember. I just couldn't remember what the facts were. But Pivetta pitching well against, again, another divisional opponent. You know, you said he went six innings. I don't remember how far he went. But if they were winning, that means he probably only allowed one, maybe two runs.
Yeah.
And it's the Yankees.
Right.
They're not something to frown at. That's going to be a team that just added the likes of Anthony Rizzo. I think they're going to be fine. Yankees are going to be okay. You look at the lineups for the Yankees and the Red Sox. The Yankees retained Rizzo, so they have that back. The Red Sox not only lost Kyle Schwarber, we traded Renfro. Hunter Renfro turned to Jackie Bradley Jr.
Negative
value.
And
you lost Kyle Schwarber. You lost that move, and then you lost Schwarber on top of that. Your offense has gotten weaker. That's not like an if. That's a statement of fact.
Absolutely. And I guess with Pivetta, we just have to hope that whatever he figured out those last couple of weeks of the season into the postseason, that he's going to carry it into 2022. Hopefully there was a light bulb in there, and whatever he figured out is going to get him off to a good start. And maybe I wouldn't call 2021 a breakout year for him. It was the best year of his career, but he's still at an ERA north of 4. And hopefully 2022 is truly the breakout year that we're all hoping for. But you mentioned Anthony Rizzo. He did sign a 2-year deal with the Yankees last night. It's worth $32 million, so $16 million per year. I believe it does have an opt-out after the first year. But there was a significant detail that was talked about. I don't know if it was Heyman or one of the other big national writers, but apparently the Yankees tried very hard for Freddie Freeman and really pursued him. But that particular writer said, It just seemed like Freeman didn't want to go to New York, and that's what it came down to. So this is the rumor that won't die with the Red Sox. The Red Sox are in on Freddie Freeman. We covered a lot of it in the last episode. Doesn't make a ton of sense because we're so lefty heavy. And then what do you do with Dahlbeck and possibly Casas, who is expected to debut this year? It's just, it's a wonky fit. So the Red Sox are apparently in on him. So is Tampa. So are the Dodgers. So are the Padres. If the Red Sox get Freddie Freeman, let's say this is legit. It's still a tough sell to me, but until he signs, we have to assume we're still in it because it keeps popping up. The beat writers keep saying we're in it. How do you make it fit? Like, is Dahlbeck definitely traded at that point?
I mean, absolutely got to hope that he gets packaged with something to bring something back. I mean, preferably a more consistent bat, someone that can get on base. If you're able to land Freddie Freeman, you can rest Casas. Like, Tristan Casas can relax for the whole year. Like, he's not going to be rushed up in any way, shape, or form. If he needs to take an extra, like, 2 months, that's totally okay. I want Freddie Freeman not because I don't want to see Tristan Casas up. I want Freddie Freeman because I don't want to see Bobby Dahlbeck in the lineup. I'm over Bobby Dahlbeck. I really am. And it's nothing against him. I'm sure he's a fine person, but there were painful stretches when him and Franchi Cordero back to back. And it was just infuriating to be able to say, yep, it's probably gonna be strikeout or ground out, ground out. One of those three combinations. And what sucked is that 7 out of 10 times, you were probably right. Even if you weren't a baseball person or a Red Sox person, you could probably call it. Just by the demeanor that they had when they were up at the dish, they didn't look like they wanted to be there. They didn't look like they were having any fun. And I think that they needed a little bit more time. It's almost like they need a little bit more seasoning. Freddie Freeman would make this team immensely better. Unfortunately, it's just not a move that I feel that the Red Sox brass is going to make. I mean, we trade Hunter Renfroe for Jackie Bradley, took on the contract and a couple of picks. We're in the picks department. Like, we're going that direction. We're trying to plan for, like, 2026 is what it feels like. It doesn't feel like we're going win now. It doesn't feel like we're trying to give our fan base a proper product. It's just a, we're going to try to put pieces together. We'll do our best. The signings that we've made are very underwhelming. No offense, but I'm not blown away by any of the picks or moves that have been made. There are other teams that are making some moves. The Toronto Blue Jays, not messing around. Philadelphia Phillies, not messing around. The Colorado Rockies today, not messing around. The Braves, they didn't get Freeman back. They're not messing around. There are some teams that are paying to play. Red Sox are just watching. That's what it feels like.
And did you mention the Blue Jays with Chapman? I don't know if
Blue Jays are they're paying to play.
Yeah,
they're making some moves. They just became the unanimous, like, front runner in the AL East. Like, before, if it was a question mark, that just sealed the deal.
I'm sending them to the World Series. I'm saying it right now. Yeah,
they're incredible. Yeah. They are absolutely incredible. And if Freddie Freeman manages to find his way in Toronto too, dude, I'm putting them there.
I think the Chapman move, Matt Chapman, I think that kind of takes him out because that'll put him at third and then Vladdy goes back to first.
Or Vladdy goes to DH.
Or to DH, maybe. I kind of think Toronto's a little bit more of a dark horse now, but I could be wrong. Their payroll would be the biggest.
You're probably right.
Their payroll would be the biggest it's ever been, let's put it that way. And George Springer's deal, which was only 6 years, I think, what, 150-ish million? That was the biggest contract they had ever handed out.
I think it was 6 for $150.
That sounds about right. Yeah. And so we'll see. But Chaim Bloom and Alex Cora have both said multiple times in the last couple of days, we can't worry about what other teams are doing. We have to focus on what we're doing. They've both said that in their own ways in the last few days. And then another quote I've seen Bloom say twice this week, that sometimes it's not about making the splashy moves. And so that type of rhetoric just kind of steers me away from the likelihood of this Freddie Freeman possibility being realistic. And why is he going to pinch all of his pennies in every other area of the team to sign a guy to a semi-long-term deal, at least 5 or 6 years, that's going to be 33 in September? And Freddie Freeman might be one of those Torrey Hunter type guys, albeit an infielder, that's just phenomenal throughout his 30s. But this is what tantalizes me so much. I'm a big OBP guy. I don't get into the analytics. I don't mind listening to other people get into it, but it's not my forte. But for the last 6 straight seasons, his OBP has been 388 or higher, and it's been above 4 at least a couple times. Just absolutely insane. So I hope we get him. Here's another scenario to consider before we do move on. We're worried about the payroll. We're at roughly $207 million right now. That's where the team payroll sits. The luxury tax threshold is $230, so you got $23 million to play with. I'm going to boldly assume Freeman's going to cost more than that.
Right.
So what if, and this might help a little bit, I think it's an extreme long shot and it's very hypothetical. What if we sign Freddie Freeman and then trade JD Martinez to free up the money? What that does is now Dahlbeck or Devers can go back and forth between third base and DH, however Cora wants to stagger it. If Casas is ready, he comes up as a DH. I'm going to boldly assume Freeman's going to want to play first base as much as possible because he just, right. That's how he looks at himself. And if that's what he wants, that's what he's going to get. But,
right.
But that's the one way you can make it all fit. And what you could do is, if you do trade JD, that brings you back down to 187. So give Freeman 30. Now you're at 217. How much would it cost to get Jorge Soler in addition? And then fill your outfield void.
Soler, I have to look at what Jorge Soler made last year because I don't remember.
It's going to be a lot more this year because he had right around 30 bombs and he was the World Series MVP.
Yeah, he went off. He most certainly went off. So he made $8 million last year. Whew, that's it. $8 million.
So you figure 12 to 15 probably this year.
Probably, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So it's to make it work, there would have to be a lot of shuffling. I mean, you can get rid of JD Vasquez. He's worth a little over $6 million. Maybe you shed some there. But it's a fascinating case. But if he gets an 8-year deal with the Dodgers, we're just going to slap our foreheads and be
we
were never in it. I know
exactly. And there was one rumor that said that the Dodgers offered 5 years and the Rays offered 6. If I'm Freddie Freeman, I'm not going to Tampa Bay. I want to actually have fans in the stands. So that's out. I don't care if they give me more money. I think Dodgers honestly are the team that make the most sense. I feel that even if the Red Sox offered him an additional year with more money, he'd probably still go back to LA. LA is a better team. They are willing to pay to get the players they want.
I agree that they're the front runner, but one thing, another national writer, I better get, you know, better at remembering who they are, but one of the big national guys pointed out California has a state income tax of 12%, and that's just the state income tax. Florida has no income tax at all. So that's why the Tampa stuff won't die.
So Tampa plays 162 games. Then that's it. The Dodgers know they're going to the playoffs. So they get to play 170, 175. Freddie Freeman has a chance to be an NLDS MVP, an NLCS MVP, a World Series MVP each year of that contract. Freddie Freeman won't go to the playoffs 1 year and advance past the ALDS as a member of the Tampa Bay Rays. It just won't happen.
Probably
the same
not.
Thing was said when the Rays were trying to get Max Scherzer. It didn't happen. Max Scherzer opted to go to New York and make more money, a little bit more money, where there is an income tax, but still because the Mets will pay to play. That's it.
I can't disagree. I can't disagree at all. Side note, apparently Tampa is shopping Austin Meadows, so he could be dealt from Tampa, which
would not surprise me.
That's a Tampa move. If I'm Freddie Freeman, I'm like, well, I kind of like Austin Meadows, and I want him batting near
right.
me. You know, so
right.
Just another side note, it's on Twitter right now. John Heyman says the Tigers and Twins are among many teams trying to land either two of the available Oakland A's starters, Sean Manaea or Frankie Montas. Now, Manaea's his splits and all the fancy metrics don't look good. You know, spin rate, all that. Hard hit balls against him. So I wouldn't look at him as a Red Sox target. Frankie Montas, not another sexy name, but the Twins and Tigers are said to be in on both of them. Mets got Bassett, so they got the ace of their staff. Gave up a nice little package
right.
for it. But just looking, yeah, so nothing.
Do you know what I'm shocked about?
What are you shocked about?
I'm shocked that Wander Franco signed that mega deal in Tampa Bay and for less than 200 mil. His deal was like 10 and 180 or 11, 180, something like that. It was just way underpaid, way underpaid. And he signed at 20 years old. This kid's, he's a kid. And he signed a mega deal. I would have waited.
Does he have opt-outs in there? I think he does.
I don't know. I'll look at it. I just remember that was announced. Wander Franco contract. $182 million, 11 years. There it is. Includes a club option in 2033. Let me see if there's opt-outs.
Yeah, I'm scouring it too.
Oh, worth up to 223, excuse me, if he's got the club option and incentives that get reached.
That's not a terrible deal, though.
I thought,
you know what's a terrible deal? 8 years at $100 million for Ronald Acuna. Now he just did tear his ACL.
That was yeah, that's dumb.
That's
so I'm looking at his, because I don't know what his arbitration years are.
Well, those are bought up at this point because of the
right
contract.
They're bought up, but he could have cashed in on those and then waited to sign the mega contract, because you know his average was probably going to be between 15 and 20 the first couple of years, and then go from 20 to 25 for the next 2 to 3 and 25 to 30. I think he shorted himself probably 20 to 30 million.
Here's another key detail. The contract does not include a no trade clause. So how many of those years is he going to be playing in Tampa?
I don't know, but his average is about 20. What was it? 182 divided by 11. It's averaging 16 and a half million. And with the incentives and the club option, it brings up 21 average annual value. That's it. I think he gave him a little bit of a discount there. He's set for life, though. He doesn't have to worry about anything.
It seems like Tampa really thinks they're going to be able to compete for a long time, because why would they be in on Freeman if they didn't think so? It just seems like
Freeman and Franco would be interesting.
Yeah. It just seems like they have this window where they're just going to just kind of ride it out. Maybe they can build something of a fan base on their current trajectory, because they've been a playoff team for, they went to the World Series in 2020, albeit, a shortened season. I think they very well could have anyway. And I think they're going to be relevant for a while. I really do. I think they're going to be in the thick of it. And Toronto's got their window right now. their pitching window is like 4 or 5 years, but with Guerrero and Bichette, it's a little shorter. I don't think they're going to be able to extend him, but could be wrong. I'm not seeing any opt-outs from Franco, so he's going to have to play that whole thing out. Maybe he'll have some leverage in this age 28, 29 season or whatever to get that big extension, but that's somewhat of a team-friendly deal, but I mean, he's going to make realistically over 200 something million. So I mean, that's a good career.
Yeah, I don't see anything in there. He's got a couple of signing bonuses in there. Escalators were kicked in for MVP votes. If he does get traded before April 2nd of 2029, he gets $3 million. $2 million on the day and after. And at the signing of his deal, the 11-182, it was the largest ever deal for a player with less than 1 year of major league service and largest contract in club history.
And Tampa gave it to him.
Okay. And Tampa was the team that did it. Yeah. That's pretty wild.
They did give Justin Longoria a big deal. Not that big, but he got a nice extension when he was there.
Right.
I think he's still playing off of it right now in San Francisco, but... Wow. So we're going to do this twice a month during the regular season on Hot Take Tuesday. So we're going to allow the followers on Twitter. So if you do follow us, and again, our handle is @bastards_Boston. When we put the Hot Take Tuesday thread up, which usually gets posted on Sunday or even Saturday beforehand, you can submit them. We'll read them right here on the show. So let's get into some of the ones the listeners have given us. Jason Weil, I think is how he pronounced it. My apologies if I botched it. He asks, by the end of the season, Houck will be the Red Sox ace. And then he says, Chris Sale who? So is Houck going to be the ace of the Red Sox? Oh, you're on mute, buddy.
I always do that. I'm so used to muting myself after I'm done talking. Just it's good practice, but bad practice when you forget to unmute. I'll say this much. I don't think he's going to be the ace. I think that this is someone who's going to be a formidable three in your rotation. I don't think anybody's going to say Chris Sale who, but I think it's cute to think that. I mean, I appreciate the sentiment of having that support and fire behind one of your young gunners. But that's a bold take. If you're going to, put money on that, I mean, I'll say this much. I put my money on Corbin Burnes being the NL Cy Young. I don't feel the same way about Tanner Houck being that clout right there. Not right now.
Got it. All right. I would not be shocked because I think that slider's nasty, decent fastball.
Okay.
It just depends on the third pitch. But I think he's a number two. I think he can get that high. And Would I be shocked? I mean, Chris Sale was thought to be a reliever when he came up, when he got called up. They weren't planning on using him as a starter. And then look what happened. Some historic stuff. So... I wouldn't be shocked, but I think if Sale was healthy, I don't think Houck having a better year than Sale would necessarily be a hot take, because Sale can't get guys out, and he's usually his pitch count is in the 80s or 90s by the fourth or fifth inning, and his two out pitches, one is a slider down and away, which he still throws and still gets outs on. His second out pitch was his fastball up and away. Now, the league figured out in 2018 that wasn't a strike. Typically, his fastball up and away, so they stopped swinging at it. So then the walk rate goes up. Postseason numbers have been in the toilet his whole career. So the hope for me was Chris Sale kind of reinvents himself a little, comes up with another pitch to get guys out, and hopefully that'll happen. And if we got two aces named Sale and Houck, the better off we'll be. Patriots 300 level podcast. So They got their own. I'll say it one more time for them. Patriots 300 level podcast says Red Sox will finish under 500 this year with 79 wins.
I think 79 is generous.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're definitely going to finish under 500 this year. We're already starting with, you can't play poker with 38 cards. It doesn't work. You can't do it. And that's what the Red Sox are trying to do for the month of April. We're going to be out one starter. We're going to be out several players potentially based on, non-vaccination status. So Patriots 300 level podcast, I'll say your podcast name too. I'm unsure if you are a guy or a gal. I think 79 is being a little generous. Terry, what's your take on that one?
I don't know where I'm at yet, but I will say I don't see a scenario in which I'm going to give them 90. I'm still kind of waiting to see what happens. So I think we're going to be in the 80s. I'm not sure if that's going to be good enough with a sixth team. And
really,
if we do nothing, I'm flirting with negative, under 500. So I don't know where I'm at just yet, but I don't think our Patriot podcaster amigo is being completely irrational, being under 500, because it could happen.
Could I challenge you on this for sure. A second? If Chaim Bloom decides to change up the game and not go after any crazy free agents, what would you say the Red Sox would get right now, assuming there's no extra moves?
If there's no other moves,
no other moves.
Probably under 500. I would go under 500 with no more.
Yeah, I'm at under 500 right now. Yep.
Because, you need, like we said earlier, Hill to have a quality year. You need Pivetta to have the best year of his career. You're going to need probably a guy like Costas to definitely get called up and definitely make an impact. So there's just so many things. And the bullpen, I don't know what that thing is right now. But we'll see. But I don't blame you for being where you're at. Next one, we've kind of covered this, so we won't spend a ton of time on it. Ryan Gross says, sign Freeman, ditch JD, promote Casas. So that's along one of the scenarios we gave just a few minutes ago.
Yeah, that's a good take, and no need to go into it, not to take any thing away from that point, but we did touch up on that. I think in a situation where that happens, it would be precisely what you said. It would be a Freeman coming in. JD would have to move. But if JD were to stay and Freddie joins, Casas doesn't have to be rushed. He can take his time in AAA. Yeah.
Drew, this is a tough one. I'm just guessing. Drew call Clow along the same lines. Freddie would be a bad signing for the Sox with Dahlbeck and Casas. We've kind of gone over that one.
Right.
So Bobo Head, love the name, on Twitter says, I think Freeman is mulling over retirement.
I think that's easy to say that's not happening.
That's too hot. Too hot for us to handle. G Witty's Burner on Twitter says, Freddie Freeman rumors are actually just a smokescreen and hype to get the asking price up. Red Sox swoop in and grab Correa with everyone on Freddie. 8 years, $242 million, Correa to Boston. That is a scorching hot take.
That is not happening because Red Sox fans are true baseball fans, and baseball fans do not want someone like Carlos Correa on their team.
Yeah.
Not happening.
All signs are pointing to the Astros. We don't know what type of deal. Yeah. It could be a funky early opt-out Scott Boras looking contract. Re-enter the market next year. But it was uncovered on Twitter today that the Baltimore Orioles offered him a contract near $300 million. And apparently Correa doesn't seem to want to go there. It's worth noting, because to some people that's going to sound insane, but what makes it believable to me is that most of their front office, which has only been in place for 3 or 4 years now, most of those guys did come from Houston. So there's a ton of familiarity with Correa. So we'll see if how that whole saga plays out. But Charlie and I agree.
Do you know why that's so magical?
Why is that?
Is that he got offered $25 million less than Corey Seager. I find that to be just special.
And I've been a big, critic of, maybe critic's not the right word. I've been a big skeptic on Correa's ability to stay healthy and what his 30s might look like. And Seager can't stay healthy in his 20s. So I think that's going to be the worst contract of the two, to be honest, with Seager. But keep me away from Correa. Charlie and I, we're just not on that parade. I'm skipping some of these because I'm just trying to get the Freeman ones out of the way. The Mr. Mako on Twitter says Freddie Freeman wanted more than the Braves were willing to pay, so they went with a cheaper option. That's not a hot take. That's a fact. So
they also wanted to go with the hometown guy too. That's something else to think about. I think we've underestimated the going back to the hometown.
I lost Charlie. Or did I lose myself? I'd been having Wi-Fi issues. I'll read the next one while I'm waiting for Charlie to come back. Jason Clark. Oh, there's Charlie. I thought that might have been me. Do you got volume?
I'm back.
Yeah, you do have volume. Okay. So I was just about to read the next one, but I'll start over. So Jason Clark on Twitter says Michael Wacha will be the 2022 Cy Young winner.
I don't think that's going to happen. It's a hot take, but no, I don't think that's going
to
happen.
We would love to see it, so we'll give you that. But the interesting thing about it is I think the reason we signed Michael Wacha was because we saw what Toronto did with Robbie Ray, who did win the Cy Young. And we would have laughed at anyone's prediction of that a year ago. But, so we gave him a very similar $8 million deal that Ray got. So we're hoping to kind of cash in on that. The Dodgers did a similar move with Andrew Heaney because they liked certain, metrics with him. And so we're all trying to recreate the next Robbie Ray, but you don't see that happen too often. Andrew Udermark, man, we've got some really complicated names, and I apologize because I probably botched them all to all you guys, and I apologize for that. But he says the Red Sox will finish fourth, .. sadly. So that's probably about where you are if you're below 500.
Yep. Unfortunately, that's kind of where my head's at.
Just above Baltimore. Beantown Sports on Twitter says Blue Jays and Red Sox have the best records in the American League. So he's on the really optimistic end. That might be Andrew's burner account.
Maybe.
I'm just kidding. Shout out to our co-host. We hope Beantown Sports is right, because some people tell me this on Twitter. Perhaps you've gotten it a time or two. We tend to be negative and really hard on the front office.
Absolutely.
And they accuse us of rooting for the team to be bad, which is totally false. We did 35,000 downloads in the month of October during that playoff run. We want that every year. So,
absolutely.
Just to be clear, we are rooting for ourselves to be wrong here. All right. Next one. This is a long one. I haven't even read it, so let's see how it goes. It might be an adventure. Scott Nelson on Twitter says, Sox don't make any big moves or sign any free agents before the season starts, Alex Cora figures out a way to somehow be in contention for the division. They make moves mid-season before the trade deadline. Paxton gets into good form and helps make a run into the playoffs. So that would be a similar path to 2021 if it happens.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Oh, and then he added a second one. Scott Nelson again goes, I guess this isn't a hot take. Tanner Houck, World Series MVP. A lot of big Tanner Houck fans in our mentions
tonight. I mean, if anyone had said which odds of Jorge Soler being the NL, you know, MVP of that World Series, would anybody have said yes? I think you would have had maybe 1 out of 100. So it could happen.
Next, the overweight underdog, which is actually one of our YouTube hosts, Jeremy, chimes in and says, Heim Bloom is getting his ass beat by the league, and it's total crap that they had to come out and say the luxury tax plays no part in their decision. So that's always a big fib to me. Like, they have no intentions. I'm with Jeremy. No intentions of exceeding the luxury tax.
Nope, and I've already shared my opinion about Heim Bloom. You know, this is just someone who does not want to spend money. He's a pick planner. He just plans to do things with his picks, and that's his thing. Like, that's his way. He doesn't want to spend and create these mega deals or contracts of 150, 250 million. He does not want that. He wants to step away from that.
I don't disagree. Chris Van D says, this is a hot take. Sale is traded before the All-Star break. Now, before we get into that, he would have to waive his no trade clause.
Right.
So,
I don't see that happening. That would be insane if it did. That would be astounding if that happens.
Yeah, that's probably in the 1-2% chance range, but we'll see. Behind the Monsters Wall on Twitter, I think he hit the enter button a little too soon because the tweet just says this: extend Devers is one. So probably is one priority, or maybe priority number one.
I think that's what he meant to say, or she meant to say.
Yeah.
That makes more sense.
And Bloom did say today, I don't have the tweet in front of me, so I guess I'm paraphrasing. He said that he was really excited about some of the moves that they're chasing. And he said this to Tom Caron, so it was not in his press conference. But some of the moves that they're chasing, and they do expect to start extension talks by the end of spring training. So who are they talking about extending? Last year it was Matt Barnes. How's that looking?
Yeah. No, if that ends up being the case, and I mean, here's the thing, as far as like getting excited about picks and moves and stuff, you either have to add Freddie Freeman or you have to extend Rafi Devers. If you haven't done that, you failed. You have failed.
Devers is one candidate, and that's the one we're all hoping for. Nathan Eovaldi, another extension candidate. I'd rather watch him pitch this season and not make another Chris Sale mistake. Watch him blow out his elbow in July after we gave him a contract. Or a shoulder injury, perhaps. So I'm trying to think. JD conceivably could be an extension candidate, but I think they kind of want to move on from him. At least by the end of the season. So we'll see. We'll see what arises from all that. But I just got it back. All right. Not a hot take. Sheffield Shuffler on Twitter says Blue Jays run away with the AL East. I mean, I'm picking them to go to the World Series.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. All right. WHS Raider, I'm assuming that's a high school football team. WHS Raider 29 actually says, Not sure if this is a hot take, but I don't think Chaim Bloom will make any major moves. He seems to have a lot of trust in our farm system and doesn't seem to be in win now mode.
Dodgers got Freddie Freeman. Breaking news. The Dodgers have got Freddie Freeman. 7-year deal.
Okay.
Just coming in now. That's what's being talked about right now. It appears, I'm just checking out the war room right now. Dodgers got Freddie 7 years.
So we don't have a dollar amount.
Wow. We don't have a dollar amount waiting right now.
Okay.
But that just happened. That is 11 o'clock on Wednesday the 16th. Freddie Freeman has selected the Dodgers. That's it.
Okay.
Well, I said this 3 days ago. This was going to happen. It was only a matter of time.
So the bummer about that is our whole middle segment is kind of null and void. So we're 54 minutes in, so we're not going to start over. But nope. Not shocked. And we just said in the last probably 30 minutes or so that we felt the Dodgers were the front runners. So where do we go? Like, where Bobby Dalbec and Tristan Casas are definitely our first baseman, and I think the priorities are the same as we thought they were before the rumors came out. You're looking for a decent hitting, durable second baseman, or you're looking for a corner outfielder again.
Yep, I'm still checking right now to see if there's a monetary amount, and I haven't seen anyone post it. hasn't come on any of the major guys that we've been following. I'm still waiting, but apparently there's some news in the war room that say that he got it.
So for the Dodgers, that puts Freeman at first base. Max Muncy, I'm guessing, will go to second base. I think that's what he came up at. I'm pulling up the Dodgers depth chart right now. Go to the ESPN depth chart. Got it right here. So, all right. So, yeah, Muncy probably goes to second, I'm assuming. Chris Taylor is slated as their second baseman, but he can go to the outfield. And when you're looking at their outfield, Cody Bellinger and AJ Pollock, you got to figure you got two injury prone guys there. So either way, Taylor becomes the super utility guy. Trey Turner, still your shortstop. Justin Turner, even though he's 100 years old, still your third baseman. So that's what the infield for the Dodgers will look like. So no big shock there. We really want that damn dollar amount, though, don't we?
We definitely do. So I'm sitting by, just texted one of our co-hosts to see. He posted it. I'm just curious to see where. You mentioned at least we aren't paying 7 years of Freddie. So you think it was 217? What do you think?
Well, it's got to be between 25 and 30. So it would be 175 to 210. Well,
try 150.
That's what it ended up being.
Freddie Freeman and Dodgers deep talks. So it's not official, and that I do apologize. It looks like it is deep talks, but the deal is expected to get done. 150 million, not 7 years of overpay. So that was just what the Red Sox would have had to do. It looks like the Braves went 5 for $1.50. That's possible. Again, just speculative. We are not 100% sure. It's a couple people are saying 150. But if other teams want to get them. Like the Rays, for example, offered 6. The Red Sox allegedly went 7.
Where are you seeing that?
Morosi posted it. John Morosi. So that's the he's posting Dodgers and Freddie Freeman are deep in talks tonight on a deal worth $150 million.
Who posted that the Red Sox were in it for seven? I'm not seeing it.
Job, it was quick, very quick read. Job was saying, at least we aren't paying seven.
At least we aren't giving them seven. Okay.
Right. That was a quick read.
So what? Let me pull up my calculator here. 150 divided by seven. So that would be $21.5 million roughly per season would be the AAV on that.
If he goes what?
If it's 150 over 7 years.
Oh, no. It looks like it's five.
Oh, it's five.
It's five. Yeah, it's 30 mil.
Oh, 30 mil per year. All right.
Yeah, it's a good deal for him.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought he was going to get. Still waiting, still patiently waiting.
That's a big middle finger to the Padres too, by the way. They lose Tatis. They were in on Suzuki. They were in on Freeman. Dodgers get Freeman. And you have to say that they're probably the front runners again in the NL West.
He just wrote, if completed, Freddie Freeman's contract with the Dodgers could exceed $150 million.
I was seeing that on MLB Trade Rumors. So
we
could be jumping the gun on the amount, but it doesn't look like it's going to be over two, let's say. I think we'd be surprised about that. Andrew just shared a tweet in the war room. So
yep. If completed, Freddie Freeman's contract with the Dodgers could exceed $150 million.
Okay. So he's sharing what we know already. All right. Let me go back to the hot takes here. Even half of the hot takes are null and void at this point.
Right.
I thought we were in the clear for the night when we came on.
A minute before close, man. A minute before close.
I didn't think that a significant player would sign tonight. But let me actually look at the Dodgers rotation. So Buehler is their number one. Urias is their number two. And then it goes Gonsolin, Heaney, and Bauer if he pitches. Like, that's a touchy subject, Trevor Bauer. But if any rotation in baseball needs Trevor Bauer, that's the one right now.
Cause right.
After Urias,
it kind of gets a little ugly.
It does. It really does.
Yep.
I don't think they're going to be able to fix Andrew Heaney. I think he's going to get lit up.
I don't know what's going to happen with that. And that's also Blake Treinen is he's the closer because currently Kenley Jansen is not with the team. So I don't know what's going to happen. I'm curious.
I wonder if they could perhaps make a trade. Oakland is got a couple of guys that we mentioned. The Reds would probably love to unload Luis Castillo for the right package. So not a lot of teams to pick from, though, if you're trying to find someone, because there's so many that really are trying to compete. So,
right.
Yeah, let's finish up the hot takes. Maybe we'll get a few more details on Urias. I got to go back to Twitter, though. Bear with me, everyone. All right, got the tweet. We were towards the bottom of it anyway. All right, so Mad Matt Beyond Thunderhome, that's a hell of a Twitter name, says Jaron Duran and Tristan Casas will be busts. Most prospects turn out to be fool's gold. I agree with him on Duran. I'm going to disagree on Casas.
I don't know. I don't want to sound negative again. I don't want to do it.
Charlie is not sold on Casas.
I think I just like it just would have made so much sense if you have Freeman there, you give Casas a little bit more time. I don't want to rush him and then have the same thing happen to Bobby Dalbec, because before Bobby Dalbec arrived, I was like, let's go. Bobby Dalbec's going to be a star. And then he did mash a little bit, but there were moments where it was like, oh God, please pinch hit for him. I'm nervous that they're going to rush him too. I'm nervous. That's what it comes down to. I don't want them to do the same thing twice.
Right. John Richter says, has Heim gone AWOL? Nope, he's definitely there, just not making the moves we want.
Pretty much, yes.
T_MCM_T. Not sure what all that symbolizes, but he says, Sox take Hosmer, Myers, and a stud prospect as part of a salary dump. And then, the Padres signed Freeman and the Sox flip prospects for Matas. So, yeah, that's unfortunately, like most of the show, a little outdated. Ethan Mengel says, trade JD, Devers to DH, Dalbec to third base, Casas at first base. You could see it in the second half by the deadline, but...
Hit me with that again. You said trade JD, Devers to DH, Dalbec to third, Casas first?
Yeah, and third base is Dalbec's natural position, so...
Well, I mean, the added bonus is you don't have to see any more flub-ups from Devers at DH. So I could see that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad alignment. Assuming, you know, Dahlbeck's hitting and Casas is also hitting. I love the handle for this one. His handle says, one more for the bad guy. Now, Charlie, that's not going to resonate with you.
That's Scott Hall.
That's Scott Hall. Okay. I didn't think you were up on your 90s WWE, but
no, man, that was Scott Hall. He had the little Jerry curl coming right down the top with the mullet in the back. Oh yeah. What did his belt say?
He was the
Nitro or something.
He was the Intercontinental champion in the WWE.
Yeah, but his bottom said something. Was it Nitro? What did it say?
I don't know.
He had a word on it. I remember seeing that in pictures, but he had the long, his hair always looked like it was wet.
Yeah.
And it always looked super wet.
Yeah. He passed away 2 days ago. Apparently a few weeks ago, he had a nasty fall. I couldn't find the details on why he fell, and then broke his hip and then had surgery and then died of basically complications from the surgery. Had some heart attacks and went on life support, and they took him off of it, and he passed on Monday, I believe. So RIP to Scott Hall. But what this gentleman on Twitter was saying was, do we forget JD was good last year? If you try to move Devers to DH now, just consider him gone. Guy is still young, and you're trying to cut his long-term earnings. Huge by that.
And we have... sorry to interrupt you. Another piece of breaking news. Ken Rosenthal, Freddie Freeman in serious talks with the Dodgers. It's now looking at 6 years and $160 million.
Okay.
Sorry to interrupt you, but it looks like it's slowly starting to get a little bit higher.
It's ticking upwards.
Right.
So let's see what that ends up being. That's less than 30.
Right.
So 160 divided by 6.
26.7.
26.7. Yep. That's still a nice payday for a guy who's about to be 33.
I'll take it.
So my apologies. Oh, here we go. I do have it up. So he's talking about Devers getting upset if you go to DH. And I agree with that. I don't think that would happen before an extension was signed, because he would go kicking and screaming. His agents would have a problem with it. And I'm going to stand by my hot take on the last show. He could get moved. If this isn't a good season and we're sellers at the deadline, he could be part of that.
Right.
And the Red Sox, the Red Sox will say something like, "Oh, we tried to extend him, but just couldn't make it work," even though it probably wouldn't have been a serious effort to do so. But I can definitely see that. But I think realistically, you know, JD gets moved, and then Dahlbeck and Casas probably rotate, you know, in and out of DH and first base, something like that. And you can give Vasquez kind of half a night off, let him DH with Plawecki catching and all that. All right. Bobby Dahlbeck's number one fan says, "Trading Dahlbeck would be a mistake. He has so much raw potential in his power that we have to at least ride it out until Casas is ready."
I think that's an interesting take. I'll say that much. I was so against Bobby Dahlbeck last year. I'm going to have to stick with my gut. I don't want to sound like a wishy-washy host. I was for trading him last year, and if there's an opportunity to trade him and get a bat of the future, I think that's something that we should look into. Last year, he struck out an ugly percentage. It was like 40% of his at-bats. It was our very own Joey Gallo from the right side of the dish, and not as many home runs. So for me, I don't know. If an opportunity to trade Bobby Dahlbeck presents itself, I would most certainly be okay with that. Yourself, Terry?
Well, I think Dahlbeck will be the first baseman until Casas is ready. The question becomes, after Casas comes up and starts to prove himself, then do you trade him? And I think at that point, it's a distinct possibility. Let's put it that way. So we got two more left. One of them is from the boy who loved Joe Kelly, which is actually Patrick, who is another host on our YouTube channel. So as always, check that out. He is the contrarian here on this subject and says, "Bobby Dahlbeck will be the best player on the Red Sox in 2024. So in 3 years, he'll be the best. I will be shocked if he's still here in 3 years, as we were just alluding to.
I don't think so.
Yeah. So, and then, and then Bobby Dahlbeck's number one fan, who we read two tweets ago, chimed in on Patrick's tweet and says, and 2022 and 2023. So he thinks he's going to be the best all three. But final one, this comes from Chase Squires. Now, I had a similar idea last year with Nathan Eovaldi. So he's going to make his pitch this year for Chris Sale. He says, "Thoughts on getting some value out of a bad contract?" He says, "Boston needs a closer. Sale can't stay healthy. So, make Sale the closer." And then he says, "Now that we're paying gazillions, because he's a starter, but he'd be lights out and maybe stay healthy basically longer." So, do you think that's ever a scenario that will come up?
I'm still trying to get my mind around the Bobby Dahlbeck in 3 years bit, because I've given him so much grief. I think only once or twice have I ever given him like props. I don't know. Do you?
I think we're at least a year or two away from that, and I think he's got 3 years left. But if he just can't figure it out and he's going to be 90 pitches by the end of the fourth inning anyway, I think it does become a valid question.
What was the statement that you made earlier today? 4 innings is the new 6 innings anyways. So if you did that, you did your job.
I didn't say that, but that does sound like something that would get said in the war room.
Somebody said it then. I could have sworn somebody said it. He has to figure it out. I mean, he's shown that he can.
I'm a skeptic, but I'm rooting for it. I mean, I'm a Chris Sale fan, but
fingers crossed. I got my Sale jersey. You already know I have it sitting in the closet. I'm just patiently waiting to bring that out. God, and that's the other thing too is if he doesn't come back with the amount of money that he's still owed, it's gonna hurt, and it's gonna be borderline like having David Price again, where you're gonna be, you know, to some degree, David Price getting paid $16 million to not play for the Red Sox. We could potentially, in theory, be paying $30 million for Chris Sale to pitch half a season. So that's almost the same thing. It hurts. I feel like there are times where I'm negative and I got to try to be positive. And certain players, I have to always be positive. Chris Sale is one of those guys.
Yeah, I mean, Price is like, he'd be like number four that the Red Sox are paying the most money to, behind Sale, Bogarts, and Eovaldi, I think.
Right.
So it's a little ridiculous.
I don't know who's making more. I don't know who's making more, because I think this is 2022 is the last year of the David Price saga. This is it.
Yeah, and you know what? He wasn't listed on the Dodgers depth chart. Let me look again. Maybe he's in the bullpen, because that's interesting.
In the meantime, I'm still rating online to see if any news came. I can look at that, too.
Yeah. He's not listed, at least on that depth chart. But Bob Nightingale just had a tweet, so he's just confirming that the Dodgers are signing Freeman.
Yep.
Yeah, and Rosenthal's 160 is the most recent, so we're just going to have to go with that for now. So, weird show, but we can put those rumors to rest, and it'll be interesting in the next 24 hours if we find out the Red Sox were in it at all. I'm currently
literally perusing and reading some of the comments. There's one of the guys who just wrote, Dodger fans aren't going to be happy with first half Freddy. So does he take a little bit of time to get warm? That's never something I've really looked at with Freddie Freeman. Does he take a little bit of time?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we will wrap on that note. We could be back tomorrow, perhaps the night after. Whenever news breaks, we'll be back to cover it. So hopefully you guys are enjoying your baseball overdose this week. There are going to be four shows a week during the regular season, not counting emergency podcasts for big developments that happen. So we're just glad to be back and hope you're enjoying it, and have a good rest of your week. Take care.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.